Good evening.
Good evening.
We're excited to be with you tonight for another opportunity to worship together and to just be together as Christians fellowship. The city Stratos Tower was 30 miles north of Joppa. Herod the Great renamed the city Caesarea. In Caesarea, there lived a Roman soldier who was a centurion in the Italian cohort. Being in charge of 100 men, his rank would have been on par with a captain in the U.S. Army. Our text this evening is Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. Verses 1 through 8. At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion of what was known as the Italian cohort, a devout man who feared God with all his household, gave alms generously to the people, and prayed continually to God. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God come in and say, "Cornelius." And he stared at him in terror and said, "What is it, Lord?" And he said to him, "Your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and bring one Simon, who is called Peter. He is lodging with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea." When the angel who spoke to him had departed, he called two of his servants and a devout soldier from among those who attended him. And having related everything to them, he sent them to Joppa. Cornelius is a Roman soldier. In the first two verses, Luke provides a description of what kind of person he was. He says that he was devout. He feared God. He prayed continually. He was generous. And during one of Cornelius' times of prayer, an angel comes to him and says, "Cornelius." Now, his reaction was fear. I think most of us would feel afraid if we were praying and then suddenly there was a heavenly being standing in front of us. And so he was afraid, and then the angel has a message for Cornelius. He says, "I want you to send word to Simon Peter, who is dwelling in the house of Simon, who is the tanner. He's in the city of Joppa, and so what I want you to do is send word to him to bring him back to your house." And so that's exactly what Cornelius does. He gets two of his servants and then one of his devout soldiers, and they make the trek to Joppa to bring Peter to where he was. Now, why did Cornelius need Peter? Let's read chapter 11, verses 13 through 14. "And he told us how he had seen the angel stand in his house and say, 'Send to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter. He will declare to you a message by which you will be saved, you and all your household.'" He will declare a message to you by which you will be saved. Now, what does that imply? Cornelius was lost. Now, Cornelius was a Roman soldier. He was devout, he feared God, he was generous, He prayed. Simply put, Cornelius was a good person. How is it that a good person like Cornelius could be lost? Chapter 10, verse 2 says, "And he was a devout man who feared God with all his household." We're going to make a few observations about Cornelius. Number one, he was religious. It says that he was devout. He was the kind of person that you could count on to show up for worship services. He was the kind of person who made a point, most likely, to talk about what he believed. Cornelius was a religious person. Everyone knew it. But he was lost. And the angel said to Cornelius, "He will declare to you a message by which you will be saved." Next it said that he feared God. So Cornelius was reverent. He didn't serve the god of he didn't serve Jupiter or Mars or Neptune or any of the other Roman gods. He served Yahweh. He was searching after the true and living God. He was praying to the same God that those who were of Israel prayed to. It's very common in our culture to be irreverent with God's name. It's if you watch a movie or listen to a song, or if you're in a crowded mall doing your Christmas shopping, you're overhearing people's conversations. It's very common to hear God's name being misused. But that wasn't the kind of person that Cornelius was. He wasn't the kind of guy to go to work and use God's name in an irreverent way. He wasn't the kind of person to say flippant things about God. He was reverent. He feared God. Not that he was afraid of him, because that's not what God wants. He doesn't want us to be afraid of him. Because if we're his child, then we can boldly approach his throne of grace and expect to receive mercy when we get there. And so Cornelius wasn't afraid, but he feared God. He was reverent to God. The name Yahweh, it meant something to him. He was reverent, but he was still lost. And the angel said to Cornelius, "He will declare to you a message by which you will be saved." Number three, he was influential. It says, he was a devout man who feared God with all his household. Some people are very good at creating an atmosphere that helps other people to do what's right. Cornelius was that kind of guy. Whenever he sends word to Joppa to bring back Simon Peter, who does he send? It says that he sent two of his servants and also a devout soldier. Now, what made this soldier devout? Clearly, he had been influenced by spending time with Cornelius. And when Peter finally does come, and he's there to proclaim to Cornelius the message that he needs to hear, there is a large crowd that's gathered together in his house. Cornelius was a man who had connections. He was a centurion. He was in charge of 100 soldiers, so that was a powerful position for him to have in the Roman army. It says that all of his household, they feared God right along with him. He had relatives and friends that were there to share in that moment whenever Peter did come to preach to him. So he was a guy that knew a lot of people. He was influential. But he was still lost. He will declare to you a message by which you will be saved. So he was religious. He was reverent. He was influential. And he was generous. It says he gave alms generously to the people. As a centurion, his salary would have been double of, in comparison to a typical Roman soldier. And we can see an indication of his wealth by looking at the verses that follow. It says that he had servants that were at his command to send. And if you're going to have a lot of people fit inside of your house, what does that probably say about the size of your home? Now, it is possible to fit a lot of people in a small room. About this time last year, I had a Thanksgiving party for my youth group in Rome, Georgia, and my den wasn't very big. And so we all managed to squeeze in there, but we had to bring in several chairs from the church building in order to squeeze everybody inside the room. And so it's possible you can squeeze a lot of people in a small room, but I don't think that's what we have here. A lot of people fit inside of his house because he probably had a pretty good sized home. Cornelius was a man who was in a powerful position. He had a lot of money. He could have kept that for himself, but he was generous. He's the kind of person that would be willing to write a check for a charity organization or to be generous with his local congregation. He was the kind of person that I'm sure if you needed help or assistance, then he would be there to step in and do something about it. Cornelius was generous, but he was still lost. The angel said, he will declare to you a message by which you will be saved. And lastly, Cornelius was blessed. What happens in verse 3? The angel comes to him and he says, Cornelius, and he's afraid. Now, what word would you use to describe this encounter? He saw a vision. Now, here's the question I want to ask. How many people base their salvation off of a perceived spiritual encounter with God? Well, I know, I'm confident of this because God told me. He came to me. But Cornelius didn't merely perceive that he had a vision. An angel actually descended from heaven. He's face to face with Cornelius. But he was still lost. And the angel said to him, and he will declare to you a message by which you will be saved. Cornelius was religious. He was reverent. He was generous. He prayed continually to God. He was blessed. He saw a vision. But he was still lost. Why is that? Verse 43, Peter comes to Cornelius, to the household, and he preaches to him Jesus. And he says, to him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Cornelius was a good person. But he was also sinful. And he didn't know the one person who could do something about it. And that's Jesus. But praise be to God, what happens? Cornelius embraces the life-saving power that he can have in Jesus. And he understood he couldn't save, couldn't be saved by being good. He could only be saved by knowing Jesus. What I want us to think about tonight is this. Are we putting our confidence in what we're able to do? Or are we putting our confidence in the one who has the power to forgive us, even though we're undeserving and we can't ever earn it? So if you're here tonight and you know that you've been putting your confidence in yourself and you want to put that confidence in Jesus tonight, then please come now as we stand and sing.